The preacher bows, seeking the mind of God. He knows he's but a broken vessel. He seeks power from on high. As he opens those tear-stained pages with the words that have sustained through all the ages.
Amen.
The message once again burns in his heart. And words spring forth as he loudly proclaims. It's all about him and who he is, and why he came and what he gave,
so he could save a wretch undone like me.
He's worthy of all praise and glory when my feeble words could never. Tired and stressed and worried, trying to make ends meet. She cared and worked for her family, getting little sleep. Each one struggling to live this life. In every glory fills his house, it all melts away. And we all remember once again that it's all about
him and who he is, and why he came and what he gave, so he could save a wretch undone.
Just lift my hands and say, it's all about him and who he is, and why he came and what he gave, so he could save a wretch undone like me. He's worthy of all praise and glory when my feeble words could never claim. So I'll just lift my hands and say, it's all about him.
Amen. Amen. Say amen right there, y'all. That's truth, isn't it? Amen. Now, a couple things right quick. There'll be a bridal shower for Miss Dottie over here, March 22nd at 4 o'clock here at the church. So, ladies, don't forget that. Put that down. And then we have choir practice this evening, too. We're getting ready for youth rally, and it's time to get in the choir. If you're not in the choir and want to be, so one church said you had to have tryouts to see if you can sing. We don't do that. Because wouldn't be many of us up here if we did that. So the Bible don't say you have to be talented. It says you need to be saved and right with the Lord and live for Him. Sing. Make a joyful what?
Noise.
We're good at that. Amen. Now, but you be here this evening. Come to choir practice. 6 o'clock. And we'll get to work. It's important. And so I hope that you'll do that. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. And I'll mention again, be sure, and don't miss that service tonight. I've got a very, very special message for our church, something I've never preached, never heard preached on the subject that I'm going to preach tonight. And it's very important, so please be here. Numbers chapter 13. I want to tell you a story and then bring a thought to you this morning about when God delivered His children of Israel out of Egypt. And you know the story. Exodus, they come out. And then Numbers and Deuteronomy, Joshua and Ruth and Samuel and all them, they're going on through the Old Testament. They wandered around in the wilderness for how long? Somebody tell me. 40 years. 40 years. And all of that wandering was unnecessary. Look at Numbers chapter 13. God was going to let them go right into the land of Canaan and possess it. And it wound up taking them 40 years. Here's why. Verse 17. 13:17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities that they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it's fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended up by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Hold your finger there just a second. They went over there and they said, my goodness, I want you to look at them grapes. These grapes were so big, about like that maybe, they had to put a pole between two of them shoulder and them grapes carrying a cluster of grapes. That's what God had for them in the promised land. That's what the Lord was getting ready to give them. But notice what happened here in verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. Remember that word. And brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. And surely it's everything you said, floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That's those giants. Verse 29. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb said, wait a minute, guys. Listen, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But them men didn't agree. They said, the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So you got part of the people saying, we can do it, and part of the people saying, no, we can't do it. We got a bunch saying, man, them guys are too big, too tall, too strong. We can't beat them. And then Caleb said, yes, with the Lord on our side, we can do it. Look what happened. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw are in men of great stature. And there we saw the giants. That's what the Discovery Channel misses. That's where them ancient ruins, them pyramids, and all that stuff come from. We saw the giants, sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. This is a famous scripture this morning, and I want to preach on when you come to the crossroads. When you come to the crossroads. This is where the children of Israel come to a place in the Bible that's called Kadesh Barnea. And every Bible preacher, teacher, and anybody who studies the Bible knows, familiar with the word Kadesh Barnea. And what that means is, God delivered His children out of Egypt, and they come out a million and a half of them. And they come in here and He said, I'm going to give you that promised land right over there. And you know how it went. They went up, they sent these guys over to check it out, and they come back and said, it's something else. Milk flowing, milk and honey. I mean, that's paradise over there. The only problem is, we can't do it. One guy stepped up and said, yes, we can. They said, no, we can't. And they stopped right there, and they decided that they could not do it. Now, the Bible said that Kadesh Barnea is like a crossroad. You ever been driving down the road, and all of a sudden you come to a fork, and it you know, where you're going to wind up is determined by which way you go at that fork. All of us come to crossroads in our life. Everybody here comes to a point in your road where you can say, I can either go this way or that way. And your life right now, you're sitting right where you are right now because of some choice you made back down the road somewhere. And you can make good ones and bad ones. Now the thing about this is that they were that close to paradise on earth. And as Bible scholars tell us that it was only 14 days, 2 weeks journey from Egypt to Canaan. Only 2 weeks. They could have made it in 2 weeks. You know how long it took them? 40 years. They went around and around and around in circles and took 40 years what they could have had in 2 weeks. That's tragic. That's sad. But it's true. And it's a picture of how many of God's people in this life, God has blessings waiting on you. He's got good things in store for you. He wants to bless you and your family. He wants to work in your life. But many Christians spend their whole life just going around in circles, never getting to where God wants them to get. Never having what God wants them to have. Never getting the blessings on their life. Wandering around because they went the wrong way and chickened out at Kadesh Barnea. I want to say a few things about crossroads in our life this morning. And I want you to listen carefully. We come, first of all, this morning, everybody does, to the crossroads of temptation. There's going to come a time in your life where you're going to be faced with a tremendous, big temptation. I mean big. And all you have to do is say yes to this temptation, and the devil will give you what your flesh would want. Now, right then is a crossroad in your life. Somebody said it's easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all the rest of them that come after that. It's easier to say no right then. No, devil. No, I don't want it. Rather than say yes and then have to try to say no the next time because temptation's harder than it was the first time. We all come to the crossroads of temptation. It might be, I heard Billy Kelly preaching the other day, and I was listening to him preach, and he was a big old guy, big old fellow, weighed about 400 pounds, and he got saved over Knoxville, Tennessee, lived in the mountains and preached in the mountains for 30, 40 years before the Lord took him home. And Brother Kelly had a drinking problem before he got saved. He used to have a bad alcohol problem, and he said when he got saved, he quit drinking, he laid it all down, he wouldn't touch it, he wouldn't touch beer, wine, alcohol, nothing. He said, I quit completely. And he said, God, give me the victory. And he started preaching, and he started doing real good. And he said, he hadn't been saved too long, and he thought he's really doing good, and he's down in Florida. And he said, he's walking down the road like this in Florida down the street, and he said, he noticed there was a saloon keeper, somebody run a bar there, and they were sweeping up the floor and had the door open. And he said, he walked by, and he caught that smell. And he smelled that brew coming through there. And he said he was walking up the street. And he said the devil come up right beside him. And he said the devil looked over and said, it's awful hot today, ain't it? He said, yeah, it sure is. I mean, in Florida, in the middle of summertime. And he said he walked through that father. And the devil said, you a long way from home, ain't you? And he said, yeah, I am.
Ain't that the way the devil works on you? See, the devil don't just come out here and say, hey, why don't you go get drunk, kill somebody? No, the devil said,
I'm hot out here, ain't it? You long way from home, ain't you?
He said, I sure am. And he said, he walked a little bit farther, and the devil said,
just one little drink won't hurt, would it?
I mean, you don't have to go all the way. Just a little bit here and a little bit there.
And he said, all of a sudden, he started thinking. He said, yeah, I don't want a little drink. If I went in there, I'd drink a boatload. And he said, I know what I'd do. And he said, all of a sudden, something come up inside of him. And that one got there sweeping that sidewalk. And he walked by and he said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound kept. And he just kept right on walking. And you know, Billy Kelly stayed in there and he preached till he, an old man, and died and went to heaven. And he helped thousands of people get saved. And he lived right. You know why? Come to that little crossroad. Made the right choice. Made the right choice. You know, there's thousands of people in rehab. There's thousands of people in AA meetings right now because they come to that crossroad and the devil hit them with a temptation. Made the wrong choice. You better make sure that you make the right choice when you're at the crossroad of temptation. But then secondly this morning, there's the crossroads of consecration. A time when you really get dedicated to God. I believe that everybody that gets saved, you come to a point in your life where you just want to sit back and be just a so-so Christian and never do nothing and just sit around and go to church once in a while. Or you really get in there and do something for God. That's a crossroad. We all come to that. We make that choice. I'll never forget when I got saved. I got it, buddy. I'm telling you, I got a dose. And I was sitting up there at Nebo Baptist Church, me and these boys. The night I got saved, I laid on the floor and bawled my eyes out for about 45 minutes. And I stood up that night and people was hugging my neck and crying. Everybody, and I went home. You've heard my testimony. I can't get time to all it this morning. But I went home and I thought about it. And I started reading the Bible. And I started going to church. And I started trying to do right. And all my friends, everybody got saved. Everybody in Nebo got saved. There's over 100 of us got saved. And I noticed after a few weeks, some of them fell out. After a few months, some of them fell out. I'd been saved just a few months, and I was sitting in church one night, and there was a girl I went to school with, and my pastor, and a couple of young people. We were sitting on the front row talking, and all of a sudden the conversation got real serious, and they started talking about just selling out, giving everything to God. And Nedra, the girl I went to school with, she said, Danny, you need to sell out. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, give it all. Give it all. Don't hold nothing back. You need to give it all to God. And I remember sitting there on that pew, and I sat there that night. Everybody listening? I sat there that night, and I thought, you know something? I felt like, am I going to do this? Am I really going to do this? Am I going to live right? Am I going to serve God, or am I just going to sort of just stay in the background and just, you know, just do what I can get by with, just enough to stay in? And that night, I made a choice. And I said, I want it. I want everything God's got. I was at a crossroad that night in my Christian life. And I said, I want it. We went to the altar and prayed. And I said, Lord, I ain't holding back nothing. My music, my friends, my time, my talent. You've got it all, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. That was one of the smartest things I ever done in my life. I'm telling you, if it hadn't been for that night, there's no telling where I might have been right now. Yes, I'd be saved. Yes, I'd be on my way to heaven. But I'm telling you, there comes a crossroads when you're going to sell out or you're going to hold back. That's the crossroads of consecration. There's a bunch of people in here this morning. You're at that crossroads right now. You need to just give it all. Give it all. You say, well, I'm afraid the Lord might call you for me to preach. Worst things could happen to you. You could wind up like a bunch of losers out there in the world. Thank God, brother. Get it all. When you come to the crossroads of consecration. Amen. I gave it all. I messed up a lot since then, but I thank God my life's never been the same since that night. That's like that's the second most important night of my life was that night. And it's never been the same since. Number three, I would say thirdly, we come to a crossroads in our homes. Don't we? Don't we come to a crossroads in our homes sometimes? You sure do. You come to a crossroad in your home, whether you're going to stick it out, divorce. Whether you're going to try to make it work or go your separate ways. Whether you're just going to let the kids run wild or you're going to try to make them go to church and do right. Where are you going to, where you set your foot down, try to do right, or are you just going to just give up and let the devil take over your family? The crossroads of the home. Which will it be? A good Christian home with good kids growing up in church, loving the Lord? Or will it be the world and its pleasures for your family and then reap it down the road in your kids and your grandkids? There's a crossroads of the home. I'm thinking of a family right now I met years ago. I was up in Michigan a long time ago preaching, and I met this family, and they were so nice to me. Every time I come up there and preach, they'd say, "Danny, we want you to come over to our house." And I mean, it's just a perfect little family. Man, probably in his maybe about 40 years old, his wife about 30-something years old, and they had about three kids, and the kids just all crowded around me, and they'd hug me, and they had a real nice house. Guy run a store there on the side of the interstate up in Flint, Michigan, and he was making good money. They had a nice house. They had snowmobiles. You know, we have four-wheelers here. They have snowmobiles. They had snowmobiles out in the carport. They had and I noticed every year when I'd go back, they would be, instead of five nights of the revival, they'd be there three. Instead of four, they'd be there two. And it just kept backing off, and backing off, and backing off. And I'd go up there, and when I would, they'd say, "We're going to order pizza." And we'd sit in the living room and eat pizza, and we'd take our shoes off. And when I got ready to leave, I'd put my shoe on that, and there'd be $100 bill stuck in my shoe. They said, "Danny, we love the Lord. We want to," they said, "we want to help you and drive back home or flying," or however I got there. And I'll never forget that. And then I went one time and they wasn't there. And I went another time and they wasn't there. And I went another time and they wasn't there. And you know what the pastor told me? He said he got into making so much money, and they got so much, that they bought a house up north. When you go up north, why would you want to be in Michigan and go north? Your brain, you'd go down this way. But anyway, they go up north into Canada and buy them a real winter place where you don't even see the ground but about 6 months a year. And he said they got it going up there, and they got to doing this, and the kids got out. One of them got their license and got a car, and another one got their license and got a car, and the other spread out, and the kids gone wild. And last I heard, I think they finally divorced, and didn't make, you know why? They come to a point in their life where they said, "Are we going to live for the world, or are we going to live right and serve God?" And they went the wrong way. Right. Your life will be changed by the choices that you're making every day, and you're going to come to a crossroad in your home. Amen? I have a friend of mine one time, he came in one day and his wife left him. She ran off, had a boyfriend, she took off and left him. He come over at my house and started bawling. He said, "Brother Danny, I don't know what I'm going to do." And I called his name and I said, "Brother, hang in there, hang in there." He said, he was at the crossroads. He said, "What are you going to do? Go get drunk? Or is he going to get in there and serve God?" You know what he did? He hit the altar and he bawled, and we got around and prayed with him. And a bunch of us guys stayed with him and prayed with him and stayed with him and prayed with him. And these guys prayed with him all the time. And finally, he started doing better. He started teaching Sunday school and he stayed in church. And right now, he's in church this morning serving God. That's 25 years ago. And his ex-wife, I don't know whatever happened to her. She messed up. They come to a crossroads in their home, and they messed up. Went the wrong way. Number four. You'll come to the crossroads of afflictions. You will. It's coming to you. There's going to come a time in your life when it's hard. There's going to come a time in your life when it's tough. And when the going gets tough, you know, that's when a tough Christian gets going. William Carey. If you know anything about church history, you've heard of William Carey. He was the father of modern day missionary movement. He had his mission there in Scranpore, India. And William Carey, the great missionary to India, worked day in and day out and day in and day out, translating the Bible, putting scripture. He had a printing press. He had a big building. He worked hard. He worked all the time. March 11th, which would be three more days now, it's 8th. 1832, a fire broke out. Got into his office. Burned everything up. He was stunned. He had a massive dictionary.
He had 55,000 printed sheets. In 1832, people, you didn't just go to the store and buy more stuff. There wasn't no online where you could get that information back. He had notes from years and years and years. They was all gone. He couldn't get it back. 14 languages he had tried to put the Bible in. Years of work. Gone in a moment. The moment of affliction. Listen, you can lose everything you've got in a moment what took you a lifetime to get.
Right.
And he stood there and lost everything he had, all his work, gone. He come down crossroads. That old boy looked up. He quoted that scripture that Paul said, cast down, but not destroyed. And he got his grit up, and people started giving him money, and offerings come in from churches, and he rebuilt the work, and wound up putting portions of the scripture in 44 different languages. And they said his success was because of his resiliency. You know what resiliency is? It means bouncing back. If you fall down, you get back up. If you get hit, you go back. You don't quit when you come to a crossroad. Listen, you need to adopt this philosophy. You're going to go on for God no matter what. Get that in your head this morning. I know a lot of people say, well, but Brother Danny, this happened. It don't matter what happened. You say, well, Brother Danny, the devil throwed you. Yeah, he did, me too. But he's thrown everything with me but the kitchen sink. Leather deep down inside, I know my best life is to live for Jesus Christ and serve Him. And one of these days, I'll hear Him say, come on inside. Well done. If I go the right way, it's a crossroad. Amen. Thomas Edison, 67 years old, all his inventions, all his stuff, his wife and son watched it burn to the ground. Everything he had burned to the ground. Knowledge that he could never get back. And he was 67. And you know what he said? Quote, there's great value in disaster. All of our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start again.
Amen.
He might have had a picture of somebody he really didn't like in there, and it's gone. All our mistakes are burned up, he said. Thank God we can start again. Listen, the ones that's full of people around here that used to go to church and serve God, and they came to a crossroad somewhere, and the devil hit them with something, and they went the other way. Woods is full of them. Don't do that. Don't wander around 40 years when you can make it in 2 weeks. The crossroads of affliction. Number five, right quickly, I'll hurry, is the crossroads of prayer life, of a great prayer life. There ain't many Christians has a great prayer life. I know Christians that brag about how they dress and how they look and how all that's good, but you don't find many people that's got a prayer life anymore. I'm talking about getting a hold of God. I'm talking about getting in the throne room and get where there ain't nobody but you and the Lord and turning your phone off or getting rid of it for a while and just getting down there and saying, oh God, oh God, oh God. I've been going up in the closet to pray and the devil fights me every time I go up in the woods to pray when we have some, and the devil fights me every time I go. He hates people. The devil, Satan, trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I'm telling you, brother, the devil's scared of us. He's not scared of our talent. He ain't scared of our ability. He ain't scared of our education. He ain't scared of our body. But he's scared when we get down on our knees and cry out to a higher power to help us. I'm telling you this morning, there's a crossroads of a great prayer life. You hear sermons. God draws you. You hear preachers preach about it. You get under conviction. And then you pray a little bit, then you quit. Then you pray a little bit, then you quit. I wonder how many this morning say, Brother Danny, it's getting youth rally time. It's spring almost. I'm ready to pray. I'll get in there and I'll labor and I'll pray and I'll pray. I'm not going to let the devil cheat me out of my prayer life.
Come on, preacher.
Don't let the devil. I remember David Brainerd. Y'all read the story of David Brainerd. He was one of the greatest men I believe has ever lived in this country. Missionary to the North England Indians. And that old boy, he wanted to go up north and pray. And I don't know about Massachusetts, New Hampshire and Vermont and Connecticut and all up in there. And I'm telling you, snow was that deep. And he couldn't even understand their language and they couldn't understand him. And he went up there to preach to them. And he was in love with this girl, Jonathan Edwards' daughter. And they were wanting to get married. And he said, I can't take you up there. He said, they'll kill you. Those Indians are savages. They'll kill you. And he said, he went on anyway and preached. And he got sick.
And his diary said that he'd get up at 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock and pray for hours and hours and hours and hours. David Brainerd could have just went to church and sung and read his Bible and prayed like everybody else once in a while and went on through and been in heaven. But he said, I'm at a crossroads and I'm going to pray. And he got down and prayed and he got sick. And you know the story. He never did get to marry that girl. Died when he was 29. And he said he'd get down on that snow to pray. He couldn't even rest so sick he couldn't even stay on his horse. And he coughed and it looked like little rose petals on the snow. And it was little bits of his lungs he was coughing up on that snow. I'm saying I read about men like that. That makes me think, we ain't got no problems, y'all. Most of us, we ain't got no problems. We don't know what it's like to have it rough. On a horse. With no rules. No police up there to protect you. Nobody. And he faced them. And he prayed. He has literally prayed himself to death, they said. Millions have been inspired to serve God because old David Brainerd went the right way. Number 6. The crossroads of service. The crossroads of service. Another missionary, Henry Richards. Missionary to Africa and the tribes. Some of them that had never even heard the gospel. He went to the Banza tribe in Africa, and what he done, he took his Bible and he started out in Matthew translating. And when he translate like 5 or 6 verses, he'd give them all a copy of it, and he said, that's what I'm going to preach on today. And he preached on Matthew chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, Mark. And he preached, and everything he'd translate, he was going to translate the whole Bible and teach it to his people at the same time. And that old boy, he'd translate that and look and like that and give them the Bible. And he come to Luke chapter 6. And at Luke chapter 6 and verse 30, I believe it is, he said, when he got to Luke chapter 6 and verse 30, he come to that verse where Jesus is talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, give to them that ask of you, and from him that would borrow you, turn not away. He said, Lord, I can't do that. He said, these people have nothing. And he said, I ain't got much. And he said, all over the town there were beggars. People just go around and just beg. You know, they didn't have nothing, starving. And he said, if I translate this verse like it says, I ain't going to have none of my underwear left. That's what he said. He said, I'll be down to my underwear. They'll take everything I've got. Did you really mean that? He said, do you really mean that, Lord? That I'm supposed to give and help people if they ask me? And he come to a point in his life where he says, am I going to do that? Does the Bible really mean that? And he come down and he said, Lord, you said it, it's your word. If I die, starve to death, whatever. And he translated Luke 6:30 and gave it to him and preached on it. And he said immediately they started saying, well, I need your cooking utilities and I need your warmers and I need your socks. And he said he just started giving him his stuff. Right and left, he said, Lord, I'm going to stick. When he come to that cross, he said, I'm going to stick with you. And he said they took about everything he had, almost to his underwear. And he said, in a few days, they started bringing it back. In a few days, they said, we want to give you this. In a few days, they started bringing everything back to him and more. And he said, what in the world? And he found out they all got together, and in their language, they started talking. They said, man, he's got to be real. He's got to be a man of God. Let's be good to him. Let's help him. And they brought it back, and God honored it. And you know, he came to that crossroads of service. Now, I'm not telling you you have to give everything away except your underwear. I hope you don't. Keep something. But listen, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there will come a point in your life. I believe some have. Came to that point and took it literally. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We come to a point in our life where it's hard. You're going to come to a point when you say, am I really going to serve God? If I do, it's going to cost me something. Well, if it does, thank God He'll bless you with something else. And if you don't get it down here, you'll get it over there. The crossroads of service. And then 7th and closing this morning, there's the crossroads of salvation. There's two kinds of people in this room today. Two kinds. You say, no, there's much kind. Nope, ain't two. them that are saved and them that are not saved. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, every time you hear a preacher preach, you're at the crossroads. You're at the crossroads. You're going one way or another. I've seen people, I've stood up in church and preached, and I preached on heaven, hell, and everything, and somebody'd say, well, pray for that man right back there. He's not saved. And I see him, he's sitting like right over in here somewhere, and during the invitation, he gets up. And I say, oh boy, here he comes, here he comes. And he'll get right here and turn and walk out the door. Right there's that crossroad. He can go that way and stay lost. He can go this way and get saved. You remember when you was there? I remember when I was. I remember part of that night at Nebo Baptist Church. I sat right there and I punched my cousin, or he punched me. Now, first he said, hey Danny, let's go up there and get saved. I said, it ain't my time to get saved. I said, it ain't my time. I'm not ready. Come down just a little bit. And he said, let's go get saved. I said, not my time to get saved. Then a few minutes, boy, my heart started pounding. They started singing. I had a bunch of young people up singing. I thought, glory to God. I thought I was about to bust, man. I thought I was going to blow up. And finally, I said, all right, here I go. I was at the crossroads. If I'd have turned and went out of that church right now, y'all would probably never heard of me. But that night, I came to the crossroads. You may be here this morning, and you're at the crossroads of salvation. To not decide is a decision. If you say, I'm not going to decide, you just decided. You decided to go the other way. I read about a man, this is a true story. Pastor of a church not too far from here. Good Bible-believing church. And they had an old man in that church. And everybody tried to get him to get saved all the time. And all he would say was, I'm a very stubborn man. That's what he'd always say. Some old guy down south from here. And they said he had a real bad heart attack. And coming here dying. And the preacher would go visit him. His wife would talk to him. She'd say, honey, why don't you get saved? He said, I'm a very stubborn man. That's all he would say. And the preacher would sit down and say, you want to get right with the Lord? You want to have... I'm a very stubborn man. And Jack Wood, Brother Jack Wood from Houston, Texas, preached revival in that church. And they said that Sunday morning, that fella came. And old Brother Wood got up and preached that morning. He stood there that morning, he preached. And they gave the invitation for him to come and get saved. It's heaven or hell, people. There's your crossroads right there. You're going to one of them too. And he said, that old man stood back there and he said, I'm a very stubborn man. And walked out. And that night, he came back to the Sunday evening service. And everybody was so thrilled. Praise God, he come back. Hallelujah. Brother Wood got up to preach. They said, during the service that night, that man had a heart attack and died right there in that service. And they said he slumped over the seat and people rushed to him and tried to help him. He said, leave me alone. And they said they called an ambulance, and before the ambulance could get there, he's died, and they said the last thing he said was, I'm a very stubborn man. There's a lot of stubborn men in hell right now screaming that God give them another chance, but it's too late. They come to that crossroad and made the wrong choice. I know men are stubborn. I am one. But buddy, when it comes to God, I'm buckling down, buddy. Yep. I ain't no match for Him. I might stub up on you or something, but when I ain't going to butt my head against the Lord. Don't do it. You're at the crossroad this morning, friend. Somebody here is at the crossroad. You've got a big choice to make today, and the whole rest of your life, we're going to wind up one place or the other, depending on what you do this morning. You're at that crossroad. Let's stand. Bow our head for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye.